Today on Real Life Radio.
The Holy Spirit, why is he necessary in your life? You need the Holy Spirit living in you. If you do not have him living in you, you only know religion. And if you only know religion, you're empty, you're broken, you're hurting. And listen, you're never good enough in your religion. You never have done enough.
Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David J., thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack now, in a message called The Holy Spirit in the Life of the Believer, Part 2, continues his series called The Why Series. Every believer's story begins with the work of the Holy Spirit bringing miraculous new birth. We've been given a new life, a new identity, through the power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus promised not to leave us orphaned. And like a loving father who both comforts and directs his children, the Holy Spirit is always there for us. He is not meant to be a mystery, but is God, the Holy Spirit, with feelings, emotions, and passions. He knows what we're going through, especially in a time of crisis, and all we have to do is trust him. So today on this part of the message, Pastor Jack goes on to say that the Holy Spirit is necessary in our lives for salvation. We cannot enter into heaven without receiving Christ as our Savior through the work of the Holy Spirit. Without the Holy Spirit in our lives, we only know the emptiness of religion. And now in his message called The Holy Spirit in the Life of the Believer, Part 2, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
If you ever want to ask the question, when was the first person saved in the New Testament covenant of the Holy Spirit causing them to be born again? We use that term born again. Jesus used that in John chapter 3. To be born again is to be born from above. He said to Nicodemus, you cannot go to heaven without being born again. That term means to be born from above. And he said, receive the Holy Spirit. And in that moment, the Holy Spirit came inside those brand new believers 21 centuries ago. Number two, for possession. I like that, possession. When I say possession, I think of this, possession. I think of a little child running into mom or dad's arms or grandma and grandpa's arms and being possessed by the love and the strength of arms wrapped around them, possession. I mean it in a positive way. To experience the possession of God, that God now owns you and he loves you. And he wants you to experience true life and true living. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16, 1 Corinthians 3, 16. There the Bible says, Paul said to the Corinthians there in Greece, do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? The Holy Spirit, why is he necessary in your life? You need the Holy Spirit living in you. If you do not have him living in you, you only know religion. And if you only know religion, you're empty, you're broken, you're hurting. And listen, you're never good enough in your religion. You never have done enough. You need Jesus Christ. You need the power of the Holy Spirit. Following Christ, being a Christian, is not what we do. It's what the possession of the Holy Spirit in our lives, as he possesses us, it's what he does through us by his power. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30, regarding the possession of God upon our lives. The Bible says, do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. Don't hurt him. Don't upset him. Love him. That whole term presupposes that you love him. Don't grieve him. The Holy Spirit can be grieved because he's a person. But you need him in your life. He's necessary. Mark this down. Third, for comfort. Man, we need comfort. You and I need comfort. Listen, our city leaders need comfort. They need the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Our leaders, we need to pray for our leaders all over the world, wherever you're at. And we'd love to know, by the way, Somehow, however you're viewing us, please encourage me by later on or now, I don't know what platform you're watching us on, let us know where you're at. Because where you're at, the leaders in your country, in your city, in your county, in your state, need your prayers. In John chapter 14, verse 16, we read it earlier this evening. Jesus said, I will pray or I will ask of the Father and he will give you another helper. That word parakletos is the word comforter. God wants to comfort you. That's why we need the Holy Spirit. And by the way, that verse ends by him saying, I'll be with you forever. This is not the last virus that's going to ravage the earth. The Bible tells us, Jesus told us 2,000 years ago, that there's going to be an increase in pestilence before he returns. Global pandemics. And yet God promises comfort. And I want you to think about that. That's very important. To be comforted. You know, some of us as men, we're knuckleheads. I don't know how that translates in Cuba right now or wherever we're broadcasting. But when I mean knucklehead, us men, we think we're so strong we don't need help. It's just the way that men are predominantly wired. It seems as though women have an easier chance or an easier opportunity to warm up to the nearness and dependence upon the Holy Spirit. But I think a real man needs to warm up to the presence of the Holy Spirit. We need men to lead their homes. We need men all across America and all across Europe and all across Asia, all around the world to lead their homes at this time. Kids are scared, and you need to be that source of comfort. But listen, that source of comfort doesn't fall on your shoulders. You just introduce your kids to the work and the power of God's word, the Bible. Get a Bible. If you don't have a Bible, we'll get a Bible shipped to you somehow. We'll find a Gideon somewhere in the world, or we'll get one to you. But you need a Bible, and you need to read it to your kids. You need to read it yourself. But Jesus said in John 14, 26 about comforting, he says, the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance that I have said to you. John 15, 26, but when the Helper comes, whom I will send from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will bear witness of me. That's why we need him. John 16, verse 7, we read this one earlier, but it bears repeating. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage. That is amazing. Jesus is with his disciples, and he tells them that it's better for them that he leaves. Now, for those of you in the world who are not familiar with the workings of Jesus, he had been risen from the dead. During the course of his entire ministry, he was cleansing those who had diseases. He was raising the dead and preaching life and liberty to those who were bound by sin and by slavery and setting people free. And now they've got him back from the dead. They thought they had lost him at the cross. But the Bible prophesied in advance that Christ had to die. My Hebrew friends, my Jewish friends, read Psalm 22. Christ had to die. Read Isaiah chapter 53 and 54. Christ had to die. And he died 2,000 years ago. You were looking for a political Messiah then, but you missed it. He was to come as a sacrificing Messiah then. The second coming, he's returning. And when he returns as that great deliverer that you had thought he was 2,000 years ago. It was not time yet. A whole world was needing to hear the gospel. And now we're about down to the end. And the Lord's coming back. And you need to ask yourself, if Christ returned tonight, would you be saved? Would you go with him? Would it be well with you? The Bible says that Christ is going to come and take his church back to heaven with the shout of the angel, and the trumpet of God will sound, and the shout of the Lord, the dead in Christ will rise. The Bible says their bodies will come out of the ground, and people who are alive at that moment will be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. And maybe you don't believe that. Maybe you've never heard of such a thing. But the trumpet of Christ will blow, and it will not fail. And then also we look at sanctification. Mark that down. We have salvation. That's why we need the Holy Spirit's work in our life. The possession of God to own us, control us. The comfort of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And then next, the sanctification. The word sanctification is a huge word. It means that, listen, please, it means that God does the sanctifying. It means that God takes you out of something and places you into something else. To be sanctified is to be going down one road and to realize I need to be put on the right road. I've been going down the wrong road the whole time. I need to get on the right road. And to be on the right course is to be on the course where God does the sanctifying. In other words, he does the leading. And the Bible says in John 16, verse 13, however, when the Spirit of truth has come, he will guide you into all truth. What an awesome thing that is. He will guide you. He will do the work, as I said earlier, in your life. Next, mark it down. We need the Holy Spirit because the Holy Spirit has supernatural knowledge that he'll share with you as needed. I remember friends telling me some stories, I don't like using the word story. The word story sounds like it's fake. I have some friends who told me about the accounts when ISIS were killing Christians, beheading them. And you all remember that scene in Libya where they brought these Christians out in orange jumpsuits, work suits, and had them kneel down on the shore. And ISIS thought it would be great to record it, and the whole world saw it. I don't know if you saw it or not. You don't need to see it, but they're all speaking in Arabic, and they had the video going. And as they began to sacrifice those Christians began to sing and praise the Lord in Arabic. And ISIS didn't know at the moment that they were broadcasting to the world the martyrdom of Christians, and the Arabic-speaking world were hearing Christians praising God and singing songs in soft breaths as their throats were being slit. And it wound up being such a witness that the church grew in countries that are there in the North African continent that saw such a thing. How does that happen? God gave them supernatural knowledge by the Holy Spirit that heaven was about to be their reception place at any moment. Supernatural knowledge. 1 Corinthians, listen to this. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. 1 Corinthians 2, 9 says, but as it is written, listen, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. That's a quote from the Old Testament. It's awesome. It's amazing. Your mind cannot imagine, your ear cannot hear, you can't think up how amazing heaven must be. Listen to this, verse 10. But God has revealed them to us. How does he do that? The glories of heaven, how could that possibly be? But God has revealed them to us through his Holy Spirit, whom the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what a man knows that the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him. Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received the Spirit of this world, but listen, the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. That passage of Scripture promises every believer supernatural knowledge that is given to us by God that is needed for our Christian life. That's why we need the Holy Spirit. Next, we need the Holy Spirit's power. The power of the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Jesus said, but you shall receive power when, that's the qualifier, when the Holy Spirit, here's the condition, comes upon you. Here's the result. And you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all of Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Power. If that verse was not true, I'm telling you, friend, right now, if that verse was not true, I'd leave this podium right now and I would drive down to the beach and put my feet up. I'd quit doing what I'm doing right now if that were not true. But God gives power. This church knows me, but many of you don't. God gave the power in my life to not only spare my life, but I had a speech impediment. I stuttered so severely, and God's power healed my tongue, and God put a message in my heart, and that was from the Word of God, the Bible. And everyone who knows me knows I never shut up, because for about 23 years, I couldn't talk right and make sense. And I gave my heart to the Lord at the age of 19, and at the age of 23, God touched my tongue, and he healed me, and my wife was happy about that. I think she was. I think she was happy about that. Sometimes I wonder, but I've never shut up for Jesus since, and I don't plan on shutting up, and that's by the power of the Holy Spirit. The wonderful Hebrew prophet Micah, listen to what he said in Micah 3, verse 8. But truly I am full of power by the Spirit of God and of justice and might to declare to Jacob, that's another word for Israel, his transgressions, and to Israel his sin. Next, quickly, for protection. We need the Holy Spirit for protection. The Bible says in Titus chapter 3, verse 4, Titus 3, verse 4, write those verses down if you can see them. But when the kindness and the love of God our Savior toward men appeared, not by works of righteousness which we've done, but according to his mercy he saved us, through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out upon us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that having been justified by his grace, we should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. What an awesome message the Christian message is, that God the Holy Spirit is the one whose job it is to do all of the sanctifying work of making you a new person and all of the work of protecting you. You are his property. You are his project. You are his work. Vision. We need the Holy Spirit for vision. The Bible says in Acts chapter 13, verse 1, now in the church that was at Antioch, that is on the Mediterranean there, for those of you in that region, you know that, there were certain prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon, who was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Menon, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch and Saul. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, listen, the Holy Spirit said, you've got to be a person to speak. God, the Holy Spirit, spoke and said to them, separate unto me Barnabas and Saul for the work which I've called them to do. Then having fasted and prayed, they laid hands on them and sent them away. And so being sent out by the Holy Spirit, they went down to Seleucia, and from there they sailed to Cyprus, right there, that great island in the middle of the eastern Mediterranean, and the gospel spread. Vision. The Holy Spirit will give you a life that's exciting to live. He'll give you vision. You know, there may be some of you tonight that are watching, or today, wherever you're at, and your life has no meaning at all. And you wonder what life's all about. I want to make you this promise. I want to introduce you to this promise. I cannot make you any. I could make you a promise. I just don't have the power to fulfill it. God's the only promise keeper there is on the planet. And he's promised you salvation in Christ Jesus and eternal life. And he'll make your life mean something. Vision. And you need that. I need that. every day. And then the Bible tells us that we need the Holy Spirit for gifting. Did you know that God created you to give you a spiritual gift? That's in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 4 through 11. And I'm not going to read it all right there. You can look it up later. It's long, and I think I'm running out of time. But in 1 Corinthians 12, 4 through 11, the Holy Spirit is promised to give you a gift that is supernatural. And see, what do you mean supernatural gift? An ability to do something that is not native. It's not natural to you. And I want to ask you something, all of you, all around the world, to Christians down the street who live near this church. Is there anything unusual taking place in your life to the glory of God? Ask yourself that question. Is there anything unusual happening in my life? In other words, it's outside of my power. It's outside of my doing. I'm not doing it. No manipulation. Nobody, you're not doing something to get something else to happen. But something really is happening in your life and you can't explain it, and it's to the glory of God. That's the Holy Spirit. And He'll give you a gift that will honor God and bless people around you. Every Christian should be a blessing to everybody around them right now, especially now at this time. And then ultimate redemption. The Bible says in Romans chapter 8, verse 9, but you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. That's the description of the Christian. If indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he's not his. He is not his. And if Christ is not, or if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin. In other words, if Christ is in you, my body doesn't make all of its demands like it used to, and I have to obey it. My body makes demands, but now I don't have to obey it. I've got power because I've been redeemed. My body wants something that's not right. It wants to sin. And I have the power to say no to myself. That's not religion, friend. That's a relationship with God.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio, in a message called The Holy Spirit in the Life of the Believer, Part 2. Thanks for being with us today. The Holy Spirit in the Life of the Believer, Part 2, is part of Pastor Jack's series called The Why Series, a series that brings to light the difficult questions of life and allows us to logically reason together while looking to God for all the answers. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio. Hey, do you have a close friend who's different from you in almost every way? A friendship that on the outside seems unlikely, but on the inside, it makes perfect sense. Well, there once was a printer and a preacher who came from separate countries and followed different philosophies, but not only became fast friends, but they were two of the most famous men in America. The printer was hardworking, inventive, often quite funny and yet practical with humble manners. And the preacher, on the other hand, he was boisterous, often gathering outdoor crowds by the thousands, proclaiming that you must be born again to get into the kingdom of heaven. Who were these two men who together established both the spiritual and the social foundations for young America? Pastor Jack's book of the month for October is The Printer and the Preacher by Randy Peterson. It's the story of the powerful and amazing friendship of Benjamin Franklin and George Whitefield. The Printer and the Preacher is not only inspiring, but it's a book that you'll want to get an extra copy of to share with your close friend. And who knows, maybe together you can help make the world a better place as you share the love of Jesus Christ to those around you. The Printer and the Preacher by Randy Peterson is available for a gift of any amount at our website, jackhibbs.com. One more time, that's jackhibbs.com. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.